Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people, and the imperative that we build the economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.uslistingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that point, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the follow button. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. Go to usliftingus.com. You can reach the ULU community through the members only portal. When you register for the ULU community, please use the same name you used when you joined ULU. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Shabaka, who, like me, is a member of ULU. This evening's topic is fifth-generation warfare, part two, how we resist. Peace, Brother Shabaka. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah, peace to you, Sister Q, and peace to the family out there. I am doing fine. I'm ready for this evening's conversation. And as always, I enjoy when I'm on this program and enjoy our stimulating conversations to keep and educate and enlighten, hopefully to enlighten the family.
Thank you for being here. You do bring good information, like we say, news we can use. So, Brother Shabaka, this is part two. Last month, we did part one of Fifth Generation Warfare. So tonight you will tell us, how is it that we resist this fifth generation warfare?
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Sister Q, for the question. But before we jump into that, I want to play a clip from you. This is a, well, let me play it, and then we'll discuss it afterwards. All right, and family,
okay.
Please feel free to join this conversation as we move through the program. And here's the clip.
It's by Gabriel.
Isn't that Bronco stuff?
They're watering crops with a sports drink?
Rondo, the thirst mutilator, had come to replace water virtually everywhere. Water, the basic component of all life, had been deemed a threat to Rondo's profit margin. The solution came during the budget crisis of 2330, when the Rondo Corporation simply balked the FDA and the FCC, enabling them to say, do, and sell anything they wanted. Joe didn't know any of this, but he did see a problem that he might actually be able to solve. With his options running out, Joe took a bold step. He would not get out of the way. This time, he would lead.
For the last time, I'm pretty sure what's killing the crops is this Brondo stuff.
But Brondo's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is that you want us to put water on the crops?
Yes.
Water. Like out the toilet?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be out of the toilet, but yeah, that's the idea.
But Brondo's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
Okay, look. The plants aren't growing, so I'm pretty sure that the Brondo's not working. Now, I'm no botanist, but I do know that if you put water on plants, they grow.
Well, I've never seen no plants grow out of no toilets.
Hey, that's good. You sure you ain't the smartest guy in the world?
Yeah.
Okay, look, you want to solve this problem. I want to get my pardon, so why don't we just try it, okay? And not worry about what plants crave.
Brondo's got what plants crave.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know?
It's what they use to make Brondo.
Yeah, but why do they use them to make Brondo?
Because Brondo's got electrolytes.
After several hours, Joe finally gave up on logic and reason and simply told the cabinet that he could talk to plants and that they wanted water. He made believers out of everyone.
All right, now that was a this is a video. It's a little comic. These people, Brondo came in, who's producing this Gatorade or what have you, and advertising that it has electrolytes and that it's good for growing plants. All right, but the plants are not growing. But Brondo has used this propaganda machinery, as you heard. All right, the people kept repeating themselves. All right, Brondo is good because it has electrolytes, and that's why it's good for plants. And so he had to, so eventually he took over the governorship, and so he's trying to educate them. And so what happens is that he says he talks to the plant, and then the plant says that they want water. And so now everybody agrees with him. Now the I brought that up for a couple reasons. One was the ASH experiments that we talked about the last time and the Milgram experiments that we talked about for the last time. As you saw, everybody was saying the same thing. That's the group dynamic picture that I wanted to show you. Everybody show you the same thing. Now, when this guy takes over the governorship and becomes the governor, all right, and then tells everybody that he can talk to the plant, all right, and that the plant say they want water, all right, now they're going to go along with them. Why is that? Because the Milgram experiment shows us of the authority figure, all right, that also guides our human behavior. I bring that up specifically because people are doing experiments, as we discussed last time, and they're very serious. The thing is that we're not clear, we don't know, so what do we end up doing? We usually depend on the television, which is easily available to us, all right, to get our information on, because, see, we're not sitting at these cabinet meetings. We're not sitting at these research centers meetings. We're not sitting anywhere. It's at home. We go on the job. We come back. And then when we come back here, we want to relax or turn the television on, and then we get the news, all right? But what people don't know, that is a commercial television. That means the programs that it has on or features is saturated with commercials. Well, the commercials are there, all right, to entice you, to encourage you in a subliminal way, all right, to buy the products, all right? And now with the AI, well, I'll talk about AI later in the program, all right? And then what the people don't know, particularly if they're listening to the news, all right, they don't realize that those people in front of that screen are actors. They're not news researchers going out and getting the news. They are sitting down at a table with their professional uniforms on, reading a script on a teleprompter. You know, so we don't see that. Okay.
Right.
And so we really think these people, you know, are shuffling, got their computers on the side. The computer has nothing on it. It's a teleprompter that they're reading from. All right. And then they take a commercial break. So I'm bringing that up because, as I said earlier, as you said, you know, this is part two. And, you know, over the past month, I've been looking at how we're reacting to things. And additional information that came my way, I said, I have to share this information such that the community begin. I don't mind if they disagree with me, but I want you to try and get your own research to disagree with me. Don't disagree with me because you, CNN, right, CNN said that doesn't answer like that. I mean, you do your own research. I mean, the Internet is full of a whole bunch of stuff. Google probably got everything in their database and search engine, about 90% of the stuff that you see that comes up is googly gobbled by Google. But they still have some information there, and they put out a lot of information. There are other search engines available, all right, that filters out some of those commercials and do attempt to identify the words that you put in and search according to those words a little bit more definitively than sometimes even Google. But even Google is if you don't have anything else, then you go with Google. You just put the words in there and it bring you up, you know, sheets and sheets of information on a particular topic. Now, fifth-generation warfare, as I tried to explain after my examination and investigation, is essentially the warfare of information and perception. That means your mind now becomes the battleground. Now you might say, well, why is that? Well, let me quickly run through 1 through 4. First generation, according to people that have examined it. The people that are engaged in that knew that they was engaged in warfare. Black folks, you know, yeah, we had wars. Everybody had war. But, you know, centuries went by before we improved on our instruments of death or techniques. I mean, the Chinese for centuries have used gunpowder for celebrations and never thought to use it for war. They used their spears, their bow and arrows, their swords. You know, that's what they've been using for centuries, all right? That was warfare. That was warfare. All right. Consequently, all right, it's only the European that has to examine his stuff because he wants to improve on the technique to increase his ability to win the war. All right. So therefore, his thing is not win the war, but win it quickly. Now you might say, well, why would that be important? Because this guy has fought wars for 100 years, a 100-year war. If you read his history, and he tells you about it, you know, 100-year war.
Exactly.
I mean, as if that made sense. All right. So we got the bow and arrow was the first generation that he was able to investigate and saw. All right. Then with the introduction of gunpowder, which you know, a few centuries back. You know, that changed the war because then you could, it was weaponized and could, you know, accelerate a projectile once it exploded, all right, and you aimed it, right, and could, you know, at a distance, you know, kill your opponent, you know, as opposed to if you're a sword or you got a knife or a spear, you got to be up close. You got to see a person dying. You got to see them bleed out. You got to see that. That's going to have an impact on you, which is why when we see those wars that are happening, particularly on the continent, you know, they're not long and lengthy and they're not frequent. And the continent is larger than Europe, all right? But, we, you know, we did have wars because we had disputes. You know, everybody has disputes. And so one of the ways disputes are resolved is going to war. All right, the third generation saw, you know, the mechanization comes in. That means that particularly during the First, Second World War, we saw tanks. All right, during the Spanish-American War, well, we used gunpowder, and then also tactics, you know, how to outmaneuver, all right, how to outmaneuver your enemy, all right? And so maneuverability became extremely important in third warfare, generation warfare, and then the fourth generation warfare, we got a new player. The new player became not the combatant that we see in another state, but the combatant that we see in our own state, all right, the insurgents movement who is rebelling against the authority, all right, that's the insurgents, and we call them the guerrillas, all right, movement who then arm. And now I want to play this special video because then it even expands research on how to disarm, all right, and overpower the insurgency, the guerrillas. Keep in mind, I think when we talked last time, Sister Q, I said that the Milgram and Ash experiments, although it shows overwhelmingly that people were enticed by their group or by a leadership figure, it says that this only accounted for maybe about two-thirds of the population, all right? Another one-third of the population weren't so easily fooled and didn't go along with the parameters of the experiment, okay? So the guerrilla you would look at or the insurgency that's coming out inside of a state, a non-state actor, okay, would probably come from that 30%, right? But now to address something that has happened in the past few years, all right, a couple decades ago, this supposedly, this conversation that is taking place, really it's a person who is explaining some research that he did, and he thinks that he has a solution to a problem that the U.S. and others have experienced. All right, so I want you to listen very clearly. Now, I don't know if this clip is real. The person that sent it to me was a brother, all right, and he sent it to me because he was convinced. He's convinced. I'm not convinced. I want to let you know, Brother Shabak is not convinced, but he was convinced that there's nothing that black people can do based on the sophistication of weaponry and psychological warfare that the European has. And so he was showing me this, all right? He says that our only way is to have the creator, you know, God, Yahweh, Allah, whatever you want to call that person, that entity, all right, we're the only one who's going to come down here and beat Satan, because he's saying right now Satan is in control and the black people are not there, all right, to begin to resist. All right, so let's listen to this clip, and we'll have a discussion right afterwards.
Excuse me. On the left over here, we have individuals who are religious fundamentalists, religious fanatics, and this is the expression, the RT-PCR, real-time PCR expression of the VMAT2 gene. Over here, we have individuals. So let me complete. So over here, we have individuals who are not particularly fundamentalists, not particularly religious, and you can see there's a much reduced expression of this particular gene, the VMAT2 gene. Another evidence that supports our hypothesis for the development of this approach. What
you see here is by spreading this virus, we're going to eliminate individuals from going on a bomb vest and going into a market and blowing up the market.
So our hypothesis is that these are fanatical people, that they have overexpression of the VMAT2 gene, and that by vaccinating them against this, we'll eliminate this behavior. So we have some very, very remarkable data in this next slide. Here we have two brain scans. These are fMRIs. These are two different individuals with different levels of expression of VMAT2. On top is an individual who's a religious fanatic and individual, and we've repeated this numerous times, that has high levels of VMAT2. Now, this individual down here who had low levels of the VMAT2 gene, this individual would self-describe as not particularly religious. In each case, these individuals were read a religious text. This individual lit up the right middle frontal gyrus shown here, and that's a part of the brain that's associated with theory of mind. It's a part of the brain that has to do with intents and beliefs and desires. In marked contrast, here's an individual who would not particularly self-describe as religious, and when they're read a religious text, what you see is that this part of the brain called the anterior insula lights up. This is a part of the brain that's associated with disgust or displeasure on hearing something.
So the
data that I'm presenting here supports the concept that we're proposing, and I think that we would not propose to do CT scans or fMRIs on individuals out in the hinterlands of Afghanistan. The virus would immunize against this VMAT2 gene, and that would have the effect that you see here, which is it's essentially to turn a fanatic into a normal person. And we think that will have major effects in the Middle East.
How would you suggest that this is going to be dispersed?
Well, so the present plan and the tests that we've done so far have used respiratory viruses, such as flu or rhinoviruses, and we believe that that's a satisfactory way to get the exposure of the largest part of the population. Most of us, of course, have been exposed to both of those viruses, and we're quite confident that this will be a very successful approach.
This is fascinating. What's the name of this proposal?
Yeah, so the name of this project is FunVax, which is the vaccine for religious fundamentalism.
And you have a proposal already?
The proposal has just been submitted, and I think that the data that I have shown you today would support the development of this project, and we think it has great promise.
All right, let me stop there. I have no idea. I attempted to try to identify the what they call the VMAX2 gene. Now, you know, this supposedly was a leak seminar held in the Pentagon, and you know I'm seeing it on my screen. It's a little faded. I can't make out clear identity, but it seems like a a room in which you would have a seminar, and then you would have students who would be there. And there's a number of people there, not many, but a number, and some of them seem to have military uniforms on, all right, which mm-hmm. could be also staged. But the important thing about this is that supposedly this seminar took place in April of 2005. All right, that's
okay.
interesting. That's April of 2005, essentially 18 years ago, okay, almost mm-hmm. 20, all right? And what they were attempting, or what this researcher was attempting to explain, is that his research has shown, you know, this is a few years after they had mapped the entire human genome. They had mapped all of the genes that's in your body, in our bodies, all right? They just didn't know what the genes do. So a great effort went into finding out what was the expression coming from each of these genes. What did they do?
Mm-hmm.
And the European has some issues. Number one, the genes don't act independent of themselves. Number one, they interact with other genes of the body. And, of course, mm-hmm. everything responds to the environment in which the host is in. You know, everything, you
exactly.
know, if it's hot, it's going to respond one way. If it's cold, it's going to respond one way. You know, in water, it'll respond one way. In ice, it'll respond one way. The genes respond to the environment. Organisms respond to their environment, all right? But this mm-hmm. Europeans like to break things up in pieces to find out what is uniquely the expression from this particular gene that we have been able to identify. So he says that he's able to, the VMAP2 gene, is the gene expression, and I looked it up. I seen something that said, you know, it's neuron firing, but it didn't go into a lot of detail. You know, I just wanted to check
okay.
it out. So they're saying that some people have a higher expression of this gene, which he calls religious fanatics, all right? In other
mm-hmm.
words, religious people who are deeply religious, all right, will express this. And then he noticed that there isn't a higher expression on some people, all right? And some people, mm-hmm. it might be the opposite. Now, the reason for that, and as you all know, is the introduction in the guerrilla warfare of the bomber, the human bomber, the brother or sister who would put on a vest, walk into a barracks, and explode, killing himself, as well as a number of combatants who might be in there, all right? This they did
okay.
not expect, because according to their theory, you know, you're going to be save your life. Yeah, you will kill, but at the same time, not the expense of your life. Your objective is to kill the enemy, but not necessarily
mm-hmm.
you, all right? Now, we've been
right.
successful. Not when I say we, the United States, Vietnam experience, which it lost, all right, went into Afghanistan, which it lost again, all right? But they noticed that the suicide bomber. Now, they did experience some suicide bombers, not directly, but indirectly, when they attempted to invade Cuba to overthrow Castro.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You wouldn't call them suicide bombers. It was that during the Batista regime, when they caught a combatant, and they cornered that combatant. What the combatant do with them would just take a grenade and blow himself up so that he wouldn't be captured and tortured to
mm-hmm.
release, you know, information. All right. So
yeah.
there's always
yeah.
been those people around. And so they figure that they'll, in blowing themselves up amongst people who are attempting to arrest them or capture them, all right, that they will take out mm-hmm. some others. All right. So we've had those kind of people, but not to the extent that we saw a play in the Iraqi war and the Afghanistan wars and stuff like that, all right? So
mm-hmm.
these people are trying to find out, and these are elements. This is your guerrilla. This is the fourth-generation warfare, all right? The
mm-hmm.
insurgency, that one-third that we talked about before who resisted, all right, at least according to the Milgram experiments, who resisted, all right, so they pose an opposition to whatever the leadership may have wanted at that time. And so this is what
mm-hmm.
these people are doing, all right? Number two, what's also interesting is that they introduced the concept of a virus which could neutralize. Hopefully you heard that,
right.
which could probably
yeah.
neutralize. And the introduction
mm-hmm.
of the virus could be by aerosol. Now, this is 18 years, you know, some 16 to 18 years before we get this so-called pandemic from COVID-19. All right, so this gives us, like I said, I don't know the authenticity of this video here. It was sent to me by a brother that we don't have the European are so powerful, we might as well hang it up. They're doing stuff that we don't even know about. All right. And obviously, I didn't know about this. Okay. So, and I do know, and you know, and we all know, that they advertised and had promoted, you know, when they had broke the genome project and they was able to map the entire genome of that which came about, you know, late 1990s, 2000, around that time. And this is just a few years later. So we know that. And their next objective would be to say, well, what do these genes do? All right, so I'm sharing that to say that the fifth generational warfare, which brought on the insurgents and the guerrillas, and automatically the European is still plotting how they can neutralize that, because they know where it's coming from. It's coming from that one-third resistance, all right, and they got to neutralize that. Lastly, on this, I mentioned, you know, again, this was last week, that the Milgram experiment, which was probably the most important because it showed the importance of leadership, all right, how the influence that might have on the individual and the group, all right, and that, you know, it showed that you could compel individuals and groups, as long as you illustrated or display having some authority, to do some things that may be distasteful, maybe against their value system, and what and how they justify that is because if you are the leader, somehow you take the onus and responsibility away from them for the action that they did, and that's all right because you're the leader. All right. So Western governments, in particular, have used and employed these techniques, and they studied these techniques, you know, for decades. All right. COVID is probably the best example, and we talked about this the last month. You know, this battlefield here, regardless of how family members you may think or view, and you may be walking around with masks and a whole bunch of other stuff, but one of the things, if you just became a little bit conscious, is the fact that this hit us in a very short period of time. In other words, it says it was aerosol. First they said it was from person to person. Then they said aerosol. People didn't even know what that meant. They just meant if you sneeze, it would be in the air. They never meant that, you know, believe that it could also possibly be that you sprayed it. You know, it could be sprayed in the air. All right. But anyway, the COVID crisis revealed the modern-day battlefield in which molding, controlling, and capturing your thoughts, all right, became the objective. All right, and it did it real easy. Not one bullet was shot. Not one whip was carried out. They didn't have to bomb anything. All they had to do, had the WHO come out and said there is a global pandemic, you know, of a novel virus, all right, that was, and it wasn't novel because it was a coronavirus, all right? It mentioned that, but it was a novel coronavirus, all right? And it wasn't that novel either, because it was from the SARS virus of 2003 and 2009, all right? So it wasn't that novel. The only thing that they found that was novel about it is that, according to some, you know, it had a protein from the HIV virus. Now, that's interesting. How did they get that? And then it had also some patents. It had some of the things that they had that was, you know, some of the proteins that was on the outer shell of the virus, all right, some of those resemble patents that had been filed 20 years earlier. I mean, I got a couple of the patents. I can't read it all, you know, but this was shown. Person said, go here and you can find it. I went there. I found it. I read the title of it. I looked at some of it, and then I downloaded it. You know, put my evidence, all right? Because that would show that, all right? And it showed, it was very detailed. You know, I read a few pages of it, what I could read, but after that I didn't think I needed. to read anymore. So this was one of the, I guess, most successful fifth generation or PSYOPs, which we used to call psychological operation,
mm-hmm.
of the modern era. And it went global. It went global. And as I said, that globalness indicate the significance of how organizations are connected for it to become global. I mean, every Western country, just every Western country, you know, had out a mandate, all right, and mm-hmm. mandates on how you need to behave, what you needed to wear, where you needed to be, okay, and close up businesses. We lost commerce, just fundamentally stopped. So that means
mm-hmm.
that, excuse me, that the powers to be, that the powers to be, all right, don't care so much. And this is what I try to argue, excuse me for backing off for a moment. This is what I try to argue a little bit to some of my colleagues, brothers and sisters, you know. You know, we talk about capitalism. I say capitalism has evolved. It's not only capitalism to make money, but it's also capitalism to make control, to sustain control. They lost huge sums. I got the stuff downloaded in my computer. How much money was lost as a consequence of the mandates that restrict us from going to work, that close businesses? I mean, New York and California in particular, I mean, with Democratic states, in fact, you know, they're supposed to be Democratic.
Right.
I mean, tremendous. I mean, unemployment. People were jumping out of windows almost like they had a depression, all right, because they couldn't take care of their means all for this, and they was changing the stories rapidly. And so they
mm-hmm.
saw this. The powers of being saw this. And so as a consequence of seeing this, we know that this is one of the most successful. Now, even in that success, the Europeans are still trying to improve their weaponry to control our minds, or at least to be able to control our behavior. And so I want you to listen to this little clip, all right, because we have to talk about how do we resist given the information that's being shared and discussed. Listen to this.
Okay.
And Duncan, why don't you guys introduce yourselves and talk about, you know, what is it you guys do, what's your background?
My name is Lynn Baer. I'm formerly a physician from the USSR, from the
Soviet Union.
Okay.
From the former USSR. I was a medical doctor, specialized in endocrinology, came over here in 93 to work for a pharmaceutical company and in the area of my research. And then I was prepared to get licensed in the States, but, you know, things on the business side took over and I stayed on the business side and currently working in the regulatory fields.
He was doing research for the pharmaceuticals as a medical doctor whose specialty was in the endocrinology.
Okay.
For a company in the Chicago area. U.S. naturalized citizen, married, and been target of directed energy weapons since 2019.
Directed energy weapons. Now, we probably the closest thing that we've heard to that was some years ago when some Cuban diplomats, all right, got sick, all right,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't explain why they got sick. You know, and then it was suggested that they might have been exposed to direct energy weaponry. Okay, you might say, well,
mm-hmm.
how is that? How is that done? You know, and, you know, I think we need to realize because, you know, a lot of us are not into the science. Some of us are. And those of us who are into science, who practice the science, you know, the corporations gobble them up. They're not doing scientists to work for us. They're doing scientists to help somebody else. But we know when you take these scans, you know, you are being bombarded by energy. And these energy, some of the energy goes through you and creates pictures of what it of what it doesn't go through, and that's why you see on some of the films a picture, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, so now if it's going through you, it's impacting cells, okay? And if you are exposed for long periods of time, you know, you could get sick, all right, particularly mm-hmm. X-ray. And that's the most principle that one of them. So directed energy is not new. It's just that we haven't heard it mentioned in that form. Another one would be microwave. Okay, mm-hmm. you got a microwave range oven. All right, it warms up and cooks things for you. Or you got your communication that you use on your cell phone is microwave communication. All right, and mm-hmm. they've been some Senate hearings, some Senate and House hearings dealing with the impact of microwave radiation on the brain, and it shows some research have shown that people who bring the cell phones up to their ears, all right, that they're that side of their brain is exposed to heat, which is an expression of energy, all right, and that sometimes the heat can be very damaging. All right, and so there's a big stuff. I think there might be a couple lawsuits out, but that's not necessarily for us to discuss right now. So this guy is talking about that, and this is who he partnered up with. And listen to his presentation.
Okay. Term Commander Syndrome, but this has been going on for quite some time. I worked for DARPA. On projects for the CIA, for the Navy, for example, who wrote the Artificial Intelligence Code, tracked the Soviet nuclear submarine fleet. But about 20 years ago, I realized some of my research was being utilized on my own citizens, and that was unacceptable to me. And since then, I've done hundreds of interviews, interviewed 2,500 victims or targeted individuals, as they're called, found commonalities of all their stories. And I've spoken to with the head of the LA FBI, to the Senate Intelligence Committee, 23 senators and representatives with some interest. And I said, just wait when it starts happening to their agents, diplomats, and the FBI. So interestingly, a story came out yesterday that it's happening to the FBI.
What is your educational background?
I have an MBA from Dartmouth, a Master's of Science from Harvard, PhD in Applied Sciences, Computer Science, Artificial Intelligence, pre-medical in engineering. And other classes from Stanford, Duke, and MIT.
Yeah, so this guy is not a dummy. All right. And he worked for the CIA. He could still be working for the CIA, DARPA, which is military intelligence, and it funds a lot of the research. In fact, it helps fund some of the research that took place in Wuhan. In fact, it went through Fauci's organization. All right, and, you know, that's public knowledge. All right, so he says that's what he does. He says there's some things he can talk about, some things he cannot talk about as a result of his intelligence experience. All right, but you notice that he said that he was with AI. That was his PhD thesis was in AI. So he's pretty familiar with his operation. As well, he said also pre-medical, so he understands some of the medical stuff. And he said, this is what he's saying, if what he's saying is true, is that he was doing some stuff that was operating on a citizen. Now, I bring that up. Now, he's a white boy, okay? Mm-hmm. And the Europeans don't have any problems, experimenting on their own when they need to. In fact, they initially started experimenting with syphilis on immigrants coming from southern Europe, all right, before they started messing with us. The significance of that is that if they're doing this to them, all right, they don't necessarily care about us, and they don't have no problems doing it to us. Well, look, they the United States has been in war since World War I. Well, it's been in war since its existence. It's been in war and responsible for the death of millions of people. That's the United States, the government of the United States. It mm-hmm. keeps its citizenry in ignorance and keep us, black people, in more ignorance. In other words, not knowing. This is not saying that we're dumb. It just makes every attempt to keep us in ignorance because it only has us operating at the survival level. And as a consequence of the survival level, you know, it's very difficult for you to do other things because most of your time is surviving. All right, this is my last clip I want to play, and this is related to atmospheric dimming. All right, you might say, Shabaka, what is that? Well, let's see and let the man tell you what it is.
Perhaps the greatest lie ever perpetrated on populations all over the world is the condensation trail lie. What we're seeing in our skies is not.
Now, what he's talking about is the condensation, you know, and I know all of us, hopefully on this call, have seen, you know, up in the skies, you see airplanes and you see streaks look like smoke or clouds coming out as the aircrafts pass. All right. And mm-hmm. so the people at the military people are saying it's condensation, you know, condensation which builds up as air flows through the jet engines, all right, and then it flows out. But it dissipates. It dissipates so fast that you can barely see it. That's why in most of it you don't see it. A lot of times it throws out some fuel, you know, particularly aircrafts do this, commercial aircraft do it, if they have so much fuel and they're trying to dump it, all right, to lighten the load so it makes it easier for them to land. All right, they will dump that, you know. But these aircrafts you see creating patterns in the sky, all right? So mm-hmm. these patterns are definitely intentional, okay? And this is a climate engineer, or geoengineering. And so he's talking about, and he's been all over the place, to alert again. The group of people that he's talking to, I don't see no black folks there. But he's giving presentations to Congress, you know, tell them about this and that the particles that are coming from the transmissions of these aircrafts, all right, are not vapors, you know, from exhaust. You know, he's saying they're particles. And what he has done was fly a plane behind these and collected some of those particles and then went and analyzed them. And he found what they're doing is throwing stuff into the air such that when the sunlight comes down, it reflects and don't necessarily hit the surface of the earth, therefore making the earth cooler. All right, he may get into this, but I've heard him on a couple presentations.
Condensation. It sprayed particulate dispersions with very few exceptions.
But they shouldn't be there. Jet engines burn clean. So if there's anything coming out of them, it's an additive.
They're absolutely not contrails. Contrails do not linger, dissipate, and go into cloud coverage, period, in the report.
And I kept saying to people, you know, what is this? Because now the sky is no longer blue. It's starting to turn gray. And what I found was kind of like it was not socially acceptable. You know, we're all going to pretend this is not really happening. And I thought, oh, this is very bad.
Most are unfamiliar with a science term called global dimming. That term refers to the amount of direct sunlight that no longer reaches the surface of the planet due to light scattering particles that are building up in the atmosphere. And although many of these particles are from industrialized pollution, the larger majority are from the ongoing climate engineering solar radiation management operations.
I just want to mention that. And this guy is who you can find is Dan Wigington, and if you go to geoengineeringwatch.org, he got all the stuff that you want to see on there. It's his own website. He upkeeps it. He puts the latest information out there, the latest research that he's involved in, and I've been following him for a little bit. The reason I do this is simple. Do you know? Maybe not. Do I know? I know a little. What I know a little, if it doesn't aid me individually, it aids us collectively if we ourselves build that into our strategy as we're moving about. Why is that? Because remember now, the European strategy is to do what? One, put you into a group so you have group dynamics that makes you subservient to the group. Two, give you a leadership figure, all right, so that you will obey the leadership, and then lie to you, propaganda, all right, in order to begin to control your mind. We got to be able to contest those things and reject those things. Now, in the last few minutes, I said, we have, how do we resist?
Can I interrupt you?
Yes,
just
sir.
A minute.
Yes, ma'am.
We have a caller holding. So can I take this call right quick? And,
oh, please! I'm sorry. I want conversation. I want even debate if necessary.
All right. Caller with the last four digits 7204. Please state your name, where you're calling from. Make your comment or ask your question. Thank you.
Yes. Good evening. This is Deborah from Virginia. Hi, y'all, this evening.
Hi, Deborah. Sister Deborah.
Hey.
How you doing?
Oh, just wonderful. Okay. It seems to me that what you're discussing is a modern-day boycott. That's what they did on us. In other words, the scientific stuff that they are doing on us, you know, they wouldn't. They've been trying to do this and do different things for a while now, okay? And they, like you said, they don't even care about their own. You know, they use their own to get to us. But the thing is, what we need to concentrate on is that we're financing that. We need to stop, putting our money into whatever they do. In other words, we need to stop going to their stores. We need to stop. We need to put our money on it for our people, because they wouldn't be able to do a lot of things if we didn't give them our money. Okay, as simple as that's what we need to concentrate on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Brother Shibaka, we have another. There's someone else. So,
yes. Yes. Put them on.
Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 8858, please state your name, where you're calling from, ask your question, or make your comment.
Nefertim Earl from South Korea. Just had a comment.
Greetings, brother.
Just had a comment. Interesting points you make. But my comment is... I like to say that nothing that they are, or all that they do, is completely illusionary. In other words, non-abiding. And lastly, there is a power within us, I say again, us, that if we choose to use it, it's more powerful than an atom bomb. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for the comment.
Thank you for the comment, brother, and you're true right. In fact, one of the brothers that sent me that information, I am not of the opinion that he is. He believes that the way in which we are behaving, he's talking about black folks, and he brings this to me because he wants me to get more involved in the faith. He says the only thing that will correct this, you know, is, intervention from the Most High. In other words, he's given up that black. He was speaking primarily to black people. He's looking at our behavior based on his assessment. He says we're not going anywhere. So he says at least there's a few of us that might be able to at least in our efforts pray and have the Creator come down there and take care of Satan. All right, brother, you are so correct. And the thing is, in fact, as I was about to talk about, what are the things we need to do? We need to identify this power within us. And in identifying this power within us, we have to also realize there are going to be some things that we reject, need to reject. All right? And let me give you an examination, an example. Sister Q, give me at least maybe three things when you were growing up, that you were able to use without the current modern technology that we have now, and you were still able to be, you know, live somewhat comfortably. Well, give me two things. I don't want to overtax you with three. Just a couple things that you use, you know, that is current now, but it's no longer used, and we're using modern technology for convenience.
Uh-huh. Right.
Can you think
okay,
of three,
so
a couple
we had
of things?
The telephone that was stuck to the wall, so we didn't have a phone that
okay,
you took
all right.
with you in your pocket.
All right, didn't need to take it to your pocket. We
right, and I guess you could go with the television that you had to get up and change the channels. You didn't just sit there and press.
Didn't have
like
the remote. Right.
Stuff. Yeah.
All right.
And
well, let's yeah. examine. Let's examine. Yeah, go ahead. You had another one.
The remote transfer to the car, because now you don't have to use a key to get in your car. You can just click the button on your car, and the car can unlock the door and put down the windows and start the car and everything, and you don't even have to be in it. So that
don't have to be in it. In fact, the owner, the real owner, because you haven't paid the car off, can keep you from driving the car. They got a remote key too to cut the car off.
Yeah.
If you drive it, they didn't
yeah,
want to
exactly,
repossess it.
Exactly.
All right. What Sister Q has outlined, family, is things that we used to do very, very easily, all right, and we were able to survive. How many people today that you come in contact with says that they couldn't survive if they didn't have the convenience that they have now? That's what we have to change that mindset. That doesn't mean we have to give up everything, but there's some things that we use and do that are critical and serious to our health. In addition, they are tracking. And I know it's hard because, you know, we meet and we say how much we want to use social media. All right. We don't know how social media is used in social engineering. Okay. Nobody is speaking on Congress right now, but as we're speaking, at least today, there's hearings going on in Congress, maybe the Senate too, all right, about some of the stuff that we're doing that seem to be associated with, you know, health issues, okay? We have more health problems now than we ever had, and we're supposed to have the greatest health system in the world, supposed to. Unfortunately, it's rate about 37th or 38th among the developed countries. All right, that's serious. All right, so I'm saying that if we want to resist, the resistance comes by not using. I know that's hard, but at some point we have to make up our mind we can't use that. You know, we talk about building economies and stuff like that. Well, the economies cannot be built on the same infrastructure that is used that is harmful for us. Okay, we have to develop alternatives. We have to. If we think that we can exist on the internet, there's some things that we can do on the internet, but the man can flip the switch. All right, and that's been done. I mean, the internet goes down. All right, a bank loses its ability to communicate to do that. It has to go and get its backups that it might have in vaults. You know, so we have no control over the switch. Up and down. We have to create our own switch. And so in our minds, we have to say that if we want to have an economy, all right, and remove the threat from us that these people are experimenting on, we have to reduce our dependency on the technology that we currently use because of convenience. And I think we have an opportunity inside the network that Ulu is doing, but we have to represent and we have to show our people as we train them other forms that is necessary and less harmful. But just, I mean, in other words, as the brother just said, we got to use our minds and we have the capabilities, we have the strength within ourselves to create that stuff. We laid the foundation for all that stuff that's out here now. All right. And so since I know we're running out of time, but my message is that, and I know it hurts, but you got to give it up. Some of it anyway. You got to give it up because it's killing us and it's tracking us.
No doubt.
And sister, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to share some of this on a follow up from the last time. But it's getting serious, and the seriousness is that what the last gentleman that spoke. The geoengineer about what they're putting in the skies to dim it, to cool it down, I know that they've been manipulating the climate for ages. And people talk about climate change. They don't know about comet manipulation. And it's hard to get in a conversation a little bit with them because they're talking, they're listening to CNN. And CNN are hosted by actors with a script, you know, telescript, you know, in front of them, telling them what to say and do. Mm-hmm. So you can't believe that. All right, sister.
It's interesting what you say.
Go ahead, sister.
About
I'm
the,
sorry.
Climate manipulation, that they have been manipulating the climate since the 1800s, 1880 something, even with the ships.
Yes.
Putting stuff in, so when the ships go across the ocean, they're putting stuff into the air. And so I think they have been saying since like the early 1900s that in 10 years the earth will be whatever if we don't change. So, again, that's part of what I think is one of the psyops of fear, to scare people into doing what they want people to do. Again, a method of control.
It's always about control. Even the white folks that tend to want to sound honest, their objective is control, too, because they want to sustain the white world. Okay, so they're just battling those who want to control in a different fashion, but they're still their objective is control. You know, like this guy who I just allowed to talk from his conventional presentation he's made, a whole room full of white folks. Now, he just might not know too many black people.
It sounded like Bill Gates.
But it was
the first guy?
Yeah.
It sounded like Bill Gates.
Huh?
That sounded like Bill Gates, the first one that was talking to the Department of Defense, and
he looked like Bill Gates. Yeah, he looked like Bill Gates a little bit, but it's not. he might work for him, I don't know. But anyway, I know that he was raising his thing. But anyway, you're right. We just have to learn, read. Get some think tanks that are in the technical area that can translate some of this information, share it with us so we can put it in our plans, know what to do. All right. If we need to build a different grid, how do we do it? You know, we got the solar panels. We don't have to go by the grid that they have here. We can put a network of solar panels all over the area that we have, and that's our electricity. It's self-contained. All right. It's just the sun coming down. That's all.
Yeah, we got one more call, Brother Chewbacca, and then we're going to cut it loose for tonight.
Okay, all right.
Caller from the last four digits, 8912. State your name, where you're calling from, make your comment, or ask your question. Thank you.
Yes, this is Brother Thurman, and real quickly, I want to thank you for this very valuable information. I thank the brother that called in to talk about the mind. And I would encourage you, Brother Chewbacca, to come back and continue because I know there's more and people really, really need to know. We need to have these higher level conversations about what's going on in the world in reality. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate your comment.
Okay. So, Brother Chewbacca, thank you again for this evening's discussion. And thank you to everyone who joined us this evening. Anything else you want to say right quick, Brother Chewbacca?
Just to thank you, sister. Always a pleasure and having you share and converse and getting some of the information out and doing your own follow-up and research is always essential. We got to get more people out there. There are things happening, brothers and sisters. We need you out there on the front lines to share, call, exchange. And as soon as we can get it out there where we are in a realm of ignorance, we can sharing will bring that out. We can remove that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. We'd like to invite everyone to join us again next Thursday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
Peace.